Okay. Okay. So we are holding on Tzedek Tes Amud Aleph by the Mishnah at the bottom.
Oh, good. That's where I am.
Yeah. Mishnah.
No, actually, I need to do this to fill it in.
Mi sheyesh lebo lefnim beis esh chaveri. If somebody has a water pit inside somebody else's property, there's two possibilities. The Rashbam said, either, for example, they divided up the property. Let's say there was an inheritance. One of them got the house, the other one got the pit. Or another case is he bought it, and along with it, he also bought a path to it, as we learned in an earlier parak about the pros and cons of whether you have to buy a path or not. No, because he has. It doesn't matter for our purposes how he comes to have it. The point is he has it, and therefore he needs to be able to get in and out. He needs to pass through the other guy's property to get to his birth. So, nichnas b'shal shederach me'adam nichnas. Then he can go in at a time when people normally go during the day. The yotze b'derach shabne'adam yotzen, and he can go out during a time when people normally go out, meaning by day. In other words, the point is the owner of the bird does not have the ability to say, for example, I decided I need to come in the middle of the night to be able to get water for my bird. The balabas can tell him that's not what the easement is there for. Yes, you bought a derach, but even so, that doesn't give you the right to barge into my property at any time. It's doing normal. That's the point that Rashbam is making. Even though he actually bought the road, nevertheless, the deal was that he's not going to be matriach him in the middle of the night to get out of bed and open the door for him. So yeah. Also, the owner of the burr cannot bring in his animal through the other guy's property to water it from the burr. What he does is he goes in himself, he fills up a pail, and then carries the pail out to where his animal is standing outside. So again, he's not matriach the balabas more than necessary. Each one makes for himself a lock. With a lock on that door. Well, which door? Pesachas is a lock, yeah. So the owner of the bird needs a lock so that the other guy doesn't go in and take water from the bird. The reason why the balabas needs a lock on that door as well, we'll see in the Gemara. You want to make sure that he's only going to be able to go and get water from his bird only if both of them are present. Why that's important, we'll see in the Gemara.
Especially
consider, for example, in those days, the reason why they had water pits is it doesn't rain during the spring and summer in Eretz Yisrael above all. So, it's a commodity, yeah. Okay. So the question is, Pesachat Lahecha. When we say, okay, we understand the owner of the burr has a lock on the door that leads out to the burr, sure. Where is the balabas's lock? Are we talking about a lock on his front door or someplace else? No. Amar Rav Yechon and Shnei Mabur. Both locks are on the same door, the one that leads out to the burr. Question is, I can understand the owner of the burr has a reason he should have a lock there because he wants to make sure that the water in his burr is protected so that the balabas doesn't come in the middle of the night or whatever and take water from it. Ela balabai salamale, what is the owner of the outside house? What does he need a lock on that door for? What's it keeping?
That's just going to destroy his way.
What? No. Amar Abulazar, Mishum Chashad Ishtay. Because of suspicion involving his wife. Meaning, in other words, so what's going to happen? If the balabas doesn't have a lock over there, then what happens is the guy can come at a time when the balabas is not home, when his wife is home, for example. So as far as stealing things from the house, for example, the Rashbam says, fine, he knows the wife can take care of the house, make sure nothing's stolen. But there'll be chashad, there'll be suspicion that there's going to be yichud over there, yeah, between the owner of the bird and the woman of the house. Kashrus is very nice, but you also need to act in a way that doesn't bring to chashad. And in fact, there's a few different explanations in Rishonim what chashad is. Is it that the balabas himself might have reason to be choshed his own wife, or to be choshed not necessarily his own wife, but to be choshed this guy that he might? Or another possibility, some of the Rishonim say it's not so much that, but people are going to see every time this guy is coming every day to the house. Well, so therefore, the point is it's the outside world. So therefore, like this, he can only come when the balabas is there. People are gonna realize then that he's only coming when the balabas is there. And then the Rambam says another point of it also. The point is you don't want that the woman herself, for example, might on her own volition decide to go and be mizana with this guy, or at least to be in yichud with him or whatever, and she uses as an excuse, well, I went back there to get water, or I went back there for something else or whatever. Like this, when there's a lock and her husband has the key, she's not going to be able to go in there by herself.
It's a courtyard? What is it?
If you have the guy's house, and behind it you have a park. So So you have to pass through the house. You have to pass through the house in order to get to the court. You have to pass through the house, or it's not the court. If not the court, if not the house, then maybe the side yard, whatever. The point is that there's a property that belongs to Reuven that Shimon has to walk through in order to get to his birth. So therefore, the point is you have a lock on that door leading out to the birth, two locks actually, and that way everybody is protected. The water is protected, and the and there's no chshad involving the balabas. So a similar din, Mishiyesh le din alafnim ginase shachaber. If one person has a garden inside, meaning further back from the street, then another one, same idea. In other words, you have one garden that fronts on Rosh Hasharabim, and or Mavoi or what have you, and another one that's further back where you have to walk through the first one to get to the second one. Again, it can be the same kind of thing. Rashbam says either they yarshined it that way, one yarshin the inner one, one yarshin the outer one, or it can be they were partners, let's say, who divided, and they agreed one will get the outer part, one will get the inner part, and the one on the inside will have a right of way through the middle. So again, nichnas b'shar shederach ne'arim nichnasim. He can only go into his garden, the inner guy, at normal times when people normally go into their garden. B'shar shederach ne'arim yotzim. Same thing. He can only go out at times when people normally go out. Again, the same idea. The owner of the outer garden wouldn't have agreed to this kind of arrangement unless done in a way that's not going to be matriachim. The ein machnas l'seicha tagrin. The owner of the inner garden cannot bring merchants in to buy from the vegetables or whatever that he grows in his garden. Same idea as the previous mission. He'd have to pick the vegetables and bring them out to the people to look at. Also, he can't go in there. So he can't go along that path to go into another field. Like in other words, he can't use it as a shortcut to go to some other nearby property of his, because that would again be the purpose of this right of way. The purpose of this easement over here is just to have access to his garden. Well, garden in this case, it's his garden. So therefore, he can't be matriach the other guy by using it for other purposes. The owner of the outer garden can plant along that road, along that path, because given that it's in the middle of his field or in the middle of his garden, Anan Sadi, the Rashbam says, we ourselves are Edim, that the only reason he was Moichel to him, fine, there has to be an easement, but not that I completely can't use that area at all. I can use it to plant, fine. If the other guy tramples on the plants, okay, then I'm taking that risk, but I'm not giving up that area as that I can plant that I can plant seeds or vegetables or what have you in there if I want to. That's if the path goes through the middle of the outer garden. What about Nosnu Lederach Min Atzad Midat Shnehem? What about if they gave him a path on the side of the outer garden with the consent of both of them? And we learned earlier, by the way, when we talked about this earlier in the sixth parak in connection with the whole question about the the fifth parak in connection with the whole issue about inner and outer places and when you have a right of way and when you don't or whatever, in connection with buying three trees in somebody else's garden, somebody else's field, etc. We said over there that actually Nosnu Loi means they, meaning Basedin, meaning they both went to Basedin, and Basedin arranged the situation and got them to mutually agree that he will have a path instead of running right through the middle of the garden, he'll have a path running along the side. Well, then it's not such a tirso for the outer guy. It's not straight through the middle of the garden. Therefore, nichnas b'shasher roitza v'yotza b'shasher roitza. Therefore, in that case, the guy, the inner person, can go in and out whenever he wants. He's not really being matriach the outer guy.
But what about the
wife? No, this is gardens. People don't live in gardens. Before, it was you're passing through a house to get to a birth. You're talking about two gardens. So he can go in whenever he wants. He can go out whenever he wants. Well, machnas l'seicha tagrin, he can bring merchants in there to look at his produce, because again, it's not matriach the outer guy. However, this he's still not allowed to do is to use it as a shortcut to go to some other property of his. Although there are Rishonim who actually have the gifts of the Yikonis in terms of the Sodachar, so he can't even use it as a shortcut, because again, it's on the side, and therefore it's not such a tircha. Now, here's a different din that applies in this case. Neither one of them is allowed to plant on that path. Because the one in the inner garden for sure can't, because it was only given to him for the purpose of the walking. The one in the outer garden can't, because Melech is in the middle of his garden. It's a big tirsa for him to say that I'm going to have this area in the middle of my garden that I can't plant. But if it's on the side, it's not such a big deal for him to give that up. So therefore he can't plant it. It means that it was strictly meant for walking. It's not meant for planting at all. If it's in the middle of the garden, it's an easement. I gave it to you so that you'll have a place to walk in and out. I gave it to you, sold it to you, whatever, but not to that extent that I can't have the use of it at all. Here, where it's not sad, then it's completely set aside. It's completely set aside from the rest of the garden. So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, suppose a person says to another, Amar Beis HaShofen Ani Merchalach. If one person says to the other, I'm selling you an Amar, meaning a water channel, for Beis HaShofen, for a field that needs watering, for a field that rainwater is not enough for. How big does it have to be? Noisimle Beis Amos Vosecha, he has to give him, there's two different explanations over here that the Rashbam says. We'll talk about both of them. The first explanation is that he has to give him two amos for the inside, meaning for the width of the actual channel itself. The amma mikan, agateha, plus he has to give him one full amma of land along the length of the canal, one full amma width along the length of the canal on each side, lagateha, for the banks of it. So in other words, altogether it'll be four ammas. One, two, and one. The two will be the actual water channel. The one on each side will be for the banks of it, in particular, as the Gemara is going to say, that this way, if the banks collapse, he can dig up dirt from there and use it to restore the banks, to restore the sides of the channel. Yeah, to maintain it. So that's Rashbam's first explanation. Then his second explanation is that we don't mean the water channel itself has to be 2 amas wide. What it means is actually the water channel is however wide it is. Typically, according to this explanation, a water channel is only 1 amma wide. And in fact, that might be why it's called an amma. Tosfos says that according to the first explanation, it's called an amma because usually it's an amma deep. But according to the second explanation, it may well only be an amma wide as well. So the 2 ammas, what we mean is the 2 ammas are banks. In other words, you're talking total 3 ammas. One, one, and one. One bank, one for the amma itself, and one for the other bank. So according to that second explanation, and that second explanation is the one that's accepted as halacha. So he doesn't need, so one, one, and one. He doesn't have to give him that the channel itself can be 2 ammas wide.
And one deep and one.
So the according to the second explanation, the amma is one amma wide and one amma deep. Yeah. And then you have one amma on each side for the banks. Amma beis hakiloin ani mochalach. What if he tells him, I'm selling you a water channel for a beis hakiloin, or the Rashbam brings the gives a beis hakiloin, whatever it is. It's a smaller channel. It's not the kind that's used for watering fields. It would be the kind, for example, to give animals to drink, for washing clothes, for washing dishes. The kilon is actually a Greek word meaning something like a bucket, meaning something like a water drawing bucket or something. So in the Gemara, that's basically what it means. It means something. So over here, it's either a channel that you put buckets into and fill up out of it, or there's other. Sometimes it means a particularly deep well that you lower a bucket way down into. Whatever. Anyway, so it's not as wide as an amma. An amma beis hashofen, we said has to be 1 amma, or according to Rashbam's first explanation, 2 ammas wide. This one is narrower. So it's narrower, and it's apparently also, since there's not as much water in it, the banks of it don't collapse as easily, therefore you don't need as much dirt. You don't need as much area of the field to take dirt from to be able to replenish it. Therefore, no son like amma achas l'sofa. So he gives them 1 amma for the middle of it. The a half plus a half amma from one side and a half amma for the other for the banks. And again, you have here the same explanation, the same other explanation in the Rashbam, that it means that the channel itself there's no specific width to the channel. The point is there has to be 1 amma designated from the field, a half on one side and a half on the other side, plus however wide the amma happens to be. Because here it's a smaller channel. It's not used for watering a field. It's only used for watering animals and washing dishes and clothes and whatever. Therefore, there's not much water in it in the first place. Therefore, it itself is narrower, and therefore the banks of it don't collapse as often. Okay. Now the next question we have to ask is those banks that amma or half amma on each side. Which person is entitled to plant over there, the owner of the surrounding field or the owner of the channel? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Bala Sada Zerim. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that the owner of the surrounding field can plant in them. So because he says, similar to the case of our Mishnah, we had a path in the middle of the guy's field, and he's entitled to plant it. This should be a similar kind of thing. There's a water channel of yours running through the middle of my field. The banks of it, fine, are reserved for you to be able to take dirt from it and refill, and then if the banks are collapsing, doesn't mean I shouldn't be able to plant there. Then. Rav Nachman Amashmo Bala Sada Noita. Rav Nachman says it also in the name of Shmuel that no, the owner of the field taka, but not he can plant seeds over there, but he can plant trees over there. Because it's Sakmanda Amma Zoram Rav Yehuda, whose understanding was that he can plant seeds, Kol Shekein Noita. How much more so it means he can plant trees? Because trees, the roots of them go much deeper into the ground. They're not likely to damage, they're not as likely to damage the Amma. Because the Amma itself is a fairly shallow channel. No. Because the Amma itself, remember, is a fairly... Back in the second paragraph, we talked about, for example, having a tree near a burr or whatever. But the difference is a burr can be a fairly deep thing. So the roots go deep under the ground, and they're enough to undermine the burr. Yeah, well, typical tree. No, what we're saying is, in other words, typically the roots of trees usually go deep into the ground, deep enough that therefore they're not going to interfere with a channel which is only an amma or even less than an amma deep. So therefore, trees are not going to be a problem.
Because it's within a
half amma or an amma or whatever. But still, it's not really going to get its nourishment from the water so much. Maybe a little bit, but not really a tangible amount. But the main point is therefore that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can do either. You can plant seeds there, or you can plant trees. Whereas according to Rav Nachman, you can only plant trees there. Abel Zerdam loy, but you can't plant trees. You can't plant vegetables or grain or whatever there. Chalcholi machalcholi, because the roots of those tend to the roots of those go more horizontally and they're very shallow in the ground, so they can undermine they can weaken the walls of the amma.
The roots of the tree.
The roots of plants of grain or vegetables or whatever. Yeah, they spread sideways and in the surface layers of the soil. So you have right next to them is a thing that's only an amma deep. They're going to be within that amma of the ground. Yeah. That's the thing. According to Rav Nachman, and that's the halacha, you can plant trees there because roots of trees we don't think are going to damage the amma, but roots of smaller plants like grain or vegetables or whatever will, and therefore the owner of the field doesn't have the right to plant them.
What do we use for every year? It's not really a good cutoff.
No, according to him, you can plant grain over there. How much more so? You can plant trees over there. Because trees, for sure, trees cause less damage to the amma than grain would. So if he says you're even allowed to plant grain there, for sure you'd be able to plant trees there.
Wow. Yeah. So you
could plant vegetables? Hold on. Zoda means, for example, to plant seeds or to plant grain or vegetables or beans or whatever. Notum would mean to plant trees. That's the thing. Trees, you have the roots go deep under the ground. So what are you going to have? Here's the ground level. Here's the amma over here. You plant a tree over here. The roots are not going to go directly over here. The roots are going to go deep down into the ground and then start spreading out. They'll be deep enough under the amma that they're not going to cause a problem. As opposed to zroim, grain, vegetables, or whatever, the roots of them are going to go in the surface layers of the soil and go right up, right close to the amma and weaken the bank.
What should be Yehuda's logic to say that?
Rabbi Yehuda would say that doesn't matter. I sold you the amma, fine, but just like in our Mishnah, I'm allowed to plant the pathway, even though and just when you walk, you have to make sure you don't slip or whatever. The same thing over here. I'm allowed the fact that I sold you an amma and the fact that I reserved for you that half amma or an amma on each side of it to take dirt to fix the banks of it doesn't mean that I've made it completely off limits to myself that I can't even use it for planting. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Amma Samayim Shekolu Agapeh. Here's another din. If you have this water channel that where the banks of it are collapsing, Misakna Ma'osa Sada. He can fix it. He can fix it using dirt from the nearby field. Because what happens? Where did that dirt from the agapayim, from the banks of it go? Originally there was a bank like this. Now it's washed away. Now it's missing. Where did it go? Mistama, the wind took the dirt and blew it elsewhere in the field. Therefore, he has a reason to say, well, then in that case, you have more soil in your field before than which came from my banks of my channel. So I'm entitled to take it back to redo my banks. Why? Why can't the owner of the field say, no, Mistama, your water washed it away? Yeah. So why am I responsible? The water level got high at some point and it overflowed, and yeah. Ella, I'm gonna papa. No, the papa says the reason why he's allowed to do that, Shamanas came, Kibbalah Bala Sada. The reason is because when he first sold it to him, that was the deal that he's going to sell him a certain amount of dirt in his field to fix the agapai. Because that where else is he gonna get dirt from over there? So meaning in other words, actually, so what it means is like this, in other words. We said he gives him one amma on each side of the bank. And we said the point of that is that's meant to be dirt that he can use to replenish the sides of it, to replenish the banks of it. But what we're saying is, even if that all got used up, even if all the dirt there got used up, and now it's already at level with the water and you can't really take any dirt from it anymore, now you're still entitled to go and take dirt from elsewhere in the field. That the amnas that he sold him a water channel in the middle of his field, as he knew that sort of thing might happen. Now, the difference is that Ashbam says the one amma that he reserved for him for the banks of it, that we said that there's a limit to what the owner of the field can do over there. He can plant trees there, but according to Rav Nachman, he can't plant grain over there, whatever. The rest of his field, of course, he can do whatever he wants. If the other guy at some point needs dirt from it, he's entitled to take dirt from it. But the owner of the field can still do whatever he wants. He can build buildings, or he can plant grain or trees or whatever he wants in the rest of the field there. So that's the difference between the one amma versus the rest of the field. The one amma is meant, first of all, to take dirt from it to replenish the bank. And second of all, it's also in order to prevent the banks from collapsing. In the first place, there's a limit to what the owner of the field can do there. The rest of the field is, there's no limit to what he can do. It's his own field. But the owner of the amma, if he needs to, is able to take dirt from there to replenish the banks of his amma.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right. Mishnah says, Mishai Sederach Hazab Maveris says today, or if somebody has a public road passing through the middle of his field, the people have Chazakah that they've been passing through there, or the Rashbam says the other possibility is Vachila, at some point he gave them the road, he donated it to the, yeah. And, Nopla, now at some point he decides to take that away, but Nosan Lahamin Atsad, and he decides instead to give them a different road along the side of it. That's what we're going to talk about. So now, but that's the situation over here. He had a path that's running through the middle of his field, like this. He decides, that's too much of a bother to have a road running right through my field. I'd rather, let's give them instead a road that'll go like this, along the side of my field. Mashan Nosan, Nosan V'Shaloy Lahigiyah. What he gave them is valid. In other words, they can start using that new road. But the one that used to be his, the one that he thought is going to be his, doesn't come to him either. In other words, now they can use both roads. We'll see in the Gemara.
You get to Rabbi,
that's the point, yeah. We'll see in the Gemara, yeah. So now they have two roads, yeah.
Try it again.
I guess he'll learn for next time not to try this kind of thing, yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. Derech Hayochid, if somebody sells to somebody else a path through his field, and the deal was, I'm selling you a Derech Hayochid, I'm selling you a private path, then the size of it is Dalet Amos. The width of it has to be Dalet Amos. We'll see. Of course, Hakolchem and Gamadina. Of course, but we're talking. Yeah, we'll see in the Gemara. There is a different opinion. The halacha is actually not like what it says in our mission. This is one of those weird cases where even though it's a Stam mission, we don't go like it. But Dalet Amos. Derech Harabim Sheish Esrei Amah, if he says to him, I'm selling you a Derech Harabim, then that's like a usual Rosh Harabim, so then it has to be 16 Amos wide. Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shir, if he says, a Derech HaMelech, there's no Shir for that. The famous thing, Melech Heard of Lassus Lageder. So what does it mean? Now, so one way of explaining it is that what we mean is, we're not talking about, so one way of explaining it, we're not talking about somebody who sells somebody else a Derech HaMelech. We're talking about if a king has to pass through a field or whatever, a moshir, however much space he needs is what he needs. And the Yad Ramah says, and that doesn't mean he can keep it permanently, it just means a temporary thing.
The king can take as much as he wants.
Hamelach Perdeth Lassus Lageder, we're going to discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, yeah. That a king can break through, that's the famous thing, that the kings are descendants of Peret, and Hamelach Perdeth Lassus Lageder. Yeah, the kings of Yehuda are descendants of Peret, the son of Yehuda, yeah. We'll talk about it tomorrow, Bez Hashem, but yeah. So therefore, so one way of explaining it is we're talking about the situation is that a king needs to pass through an area. There's no limit to what, to however much he needs for his entourage or his army or whatever they're entitled to go to.
Jewish king?
A Jewish king we're talking about. Primarily we're talking about a Jewish king, although it is interesting. They tell a story, I think, involving Rav Janus and Eibeshitz, that one time, or maybe I don't remember whether it was him or somebody else, anyway, he was friendly with his local duke or king or what have you, whatever the guy's title was. One time the guy says, I guess he must have been some sort of king anyway, because that's important to the story. He one time asked Rabbi Yonasan, so I'm going to fight a battle or whatever. When I come back, which of the gates of the city am I going to come back through? So Rabbi Yonasan says, well, if I tell you, you're just going to go through another one. How about let's do like this? I'll write my answer on a piece of paper. We'll hide it away. When you come back, we'll open up the paper and we'll see. Okay. So that was the deal. So Rabbi Yonasan writes it on his paper. The guy goes. When he comes back, he thinks to himself, now I'm going to outsmart him. I'm going to have a new gate broken through the city wall and come in through that. He's never going to guess that. Comes back in. He does that. They come back in. They open up the paper. Melech Kurdus lots to get it.
Wow.
Melech, yeah.
Wow.
All right. So yeah. So does it technically apply to a Goyish king? I don't know, but in the story, it does. All right. Yeah. There is a different explanation on this, which the Rambam understands it like this. What it means is, if I say I'm selling you a Derech HaMelech in my field, since Ein Lo Shir, it means it's not a valid sale. It's the equivalent of saying I'm going to sell you something orange. Something orange could be anything. Yeah. So yeah.
Can he come back on his sale?
According to the Rambam, it would be, yeah.
I'll tell you anything orange.
Yeah, okay.
Because something orange I can give you.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Something
Min Yadua is the expression that Rambam says, that the type of thing is unknown, yeah. The Raivad disagrees with it over there because the Raivad understands our mission differently. He understands it similar to the first way. We said that we're talking about a king actually passing through. But yeah, anyway. Derech HaKever Ein Moshir. Similarly, a road for kever when they're taking a mess to bury him. Again, ein lo shir. There's no shir. What about it? Derech hakever. Again, according to the Rashbam, derech hakever means we're not talking about selling anything. We're talking about when a funeral has to pass through ein lo shir. There's no limit. However, whatever the size of the funeral is, they have to. You have to have the Rashbam brings from a Gemara and Ksubas that but even for a portion of a year there have to be a huge number of people at the funeral. So therefore, so that's what it means. Ein lo shir, however large they need. Again, now that so according to the Rashbam, what it means is it doesn't mean it's still different than a Derech HaMelech. A Derech HaMelech, for example, if he has to pass through with his entourage or his army or whatever, and there are buildings in the way, let's say they can knock them down. Here we're not saying they can knock down buildings. All it means is, for example, they can walk through fields, they can step on the crops or whatever. So that's one explanation. Then the Rashbam says the other explanation, which he prefers, is we're talking about somebody sells a Derech HaKever, that somebody is selling. Now, I'm selling you the right to be able to take funerals through my field. So then Ein Lo Shir, it's again, however much space is needed, they can pass. So according to the Rambam, it would be the other way around. According to the Rambam, same idea. Say, I'm selling you a Derech HaKever because Ein Lo Shir, therefore it's not considered a valid sale because there's no known amount that it could be.
Derech
HaMelech would be while he's alive. But the Gemara in Ksubas actually mentions different possibilities depending whether the person is just a Yid who kept mitzvahs, or whether he's a Yid who learned Torah, whether he's a Yid who taught Torah. The funeral has to be bigger and bigger in that case. So king, it depends. If he taught Torah, then yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about Hamaimed? What about if you sell a person a place for Maimed, which is part of the funeral, after the funeral the people go to be Menachem Avil? We'll talk about the details of it in the Gemara tomorrow. Dayoni Tzipori, Omru, the Dayonim of Tzipori said, Beis Abar Kabin. In that case, the area for a Maimed is the area of where you could plant four Kabin. So two-thirds of a Beis Sar. Beis Sar being, the Beis Sar is 50 by 50 Amos, so this is about 40 by 40 Amos, roughly. In the first case of our Mishnah, we said you had a road passing through your field. You decided in the end to divert the road to the side of your field. We say now that the Rabbim end up with both roads. Why? Why do we say that he doesn't get back his? Shouldn't it be kofin amidas zoyim that Rashbam says? I mean, what are they losing from it? Linket paz Rav Yosef. Let him have the right to find. They'll have the new road, and he can sit with a stick. He can sit with a stick by the one road and then prevent anybody from going through. Ovid inish dinul anapshe, it's called. He has a hefset, after all. They're passing through my field. I should be able to do a din for myself. I can't very well take everybody to base din. So therefore, I'll sit there with a stick and forcibly prevent anybody from going through. And of necessity, they'll start using the new road. What's the problem? Shamat mina loy ovid inish dinul anapshe. On the face of it, doesn't that mean then that maybe a person is not able to do a din for himself, a person is not able to take the law into his own hands, even when there's a hefset involved? And as a matter of fact, actually, we learned in Bava Kamma that it's not so. Where there's a hefset involved, ovid inish dinul anapshe. We learned in Bava Kamma, for example, we have the case over there where somebody else filled up the whole suite with barrels where you're allowed to break your way through. So that's one example. So so there is a concept of an inish dinul anapshe, certainly when there's a hefset. So over here, he's having a hefset, he's losing out, so why shouldn't he be able to take the law into his own hands and then sit there with a stick?
Right.
Yes, usually you would say of an inish dinul anapshe. Here, the reason why we don't want to do it is because we make a zera. What if he gives them instead a crooked path? Now, the rabbin may not pay attention because they're going to all figure somebody else will take care of it. The Rashbam brings the famous expression, a kidra de beis shutfi. When you have a pot that's owned by many shutfim, everybody depends on everybody else, and therefore it's neither hot nor cold. Nothing gets done when it depends on the rabbin, as we well know from reading the daily headlines. So in this case, the rabbin may not. They it may be a crooked thing, and they'll all figure, well, somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will take in the base dividend. Yeah. Meanwhile, it doesn't get done. So therefore, because of that zera, because you might do that, therefore make zera and tell him, regardless, we won't let you keep the original one. We won't let you take back the second one that you gave. So here we're focusing on really why he can't keep the original one, why he can't take back the second one. That the Gemara is going to discuss too.
In
modern day society, yeah. What is this addressed?
Is this addressed? And does this go like the law of the land or something?
Yeah, and when there's dinah d'malchusa, probably. Yeah, I mean, usually when people buy real estate, it's usually understood that it is. According to dinah d'malchusa. So yeah, I guess if there, you know, whatever there is on that would probably be relevant.
If someone's backyard to go to the shul, it has to be stopped them, probably.
We're going to be discussing soon in the Gemara called Meitzer She'ezik by Rabbim, also the Kalkula we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara. Once the Rabbim have made a chazaka on an area that they commonly use it, then you can't, then you can't prevent them. So
even nowadays.
I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Okay,
so that's one answer.
A person, let's say,
has his, people regularly use somebody's backyard as a shortcut. Would he be entitled, let's say, to go put up fences and prevent them from going through? I don't know.
An American law, yeah.
A law, would he be allowed to? I don't know.
But
dinah d'malchusa dinah, not when it conflicts with halacha. Okay, I don't know. Okay, that's the question. When people nowadays buy property, are they buying almanac that they're going to follow dinah d'malchusa and not necessarily these halachas, in which case I call kamidagam and dinah? Or maybe not, I don't know. Okay. Rav Meshavshia Meshmei de Rava, Benoisim Lahem Derech HaKalotin. Rav Meshavshia says in the name of Rava a different answer. Not that if he might give them a crooked way. If he gave them a crooked way, that's when we say that. According to the second explanation, if he gave them a straight way, he would be entitled to take back the original one and sit there with a stick and then prevent anybody from going through. Only if the second road was a crooked one, a less direct one, then we cancel him and then tell him he can't take back the original one.
So lechatchila he can't claim this. Lechatchila he can't do anything. No.
If he
made a straight path, he can take back the other.
Well, If he gave them a straight path, he wasn't supposed to do it, but he did it already. Rav Ashi says a third possibility. No. There's no such thing as a straight path. Kol min asad derech hakalotani. Anytime you're replacing one road with another, it's always considered a crooked path. Because after all, it's closer for some people, it's further away for others. So some people are going to find it more convenient, it's closer to their houses. Other people, of necessity, are going to find it less convenient. So even if you have the rove of the people, it's more convenient for. Still, you have a meal that not. Yeah. So therefore we still apply that penalty. We still say that you don't have the right to take away from the rabbim, and therefore you end up losing both. You can't take back the original one, and for reasons which we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, you're not going to be able to take back the new one either.
Why can't you be compensated?
So who's going to compensate with the rabbim? Yeah, you can. What are you going to have? You're going to collect a toll from everybody? No, that's the same thing as the pageant. No. Especially because it's not necessarily just the people in the city. It's a road. Anybody can use it. People can come from the outside world and use it too. There is something. We did learn something. I think it was in Bava Kamma towards the end. We did talk about a case over there where you have such a path which is used specifically by people between two cities. You have, let's say, a highway running between two cities,
right,
and you have like a muggery in between two roads over there. There we said that you have a little more flexibility as far as being able to close one and open the other, because then it's not more or less convenient for them. Then it's the same convenience, and we're not worried about the rabbit from the outside world. But here, where we're talking about just an ordinary road, then yeah. Okay. So fine, so that covers, so any of these reasons cover why he doesn't get back the original road, even though he gave a second road. And by the way, the Rashbam points out there's no real difference in halacha between Rav Ashi's explanation and Rav Zvid's explanation, which is the first one. It both amounts to the same thing. It's the two different ways of expressing the same thing. Rav Zvid is saying that he might give them a derech hakalosan, and Rav Ashi says it doesn't even matter whether he did or not. Any new road is a derech hakalosan. Yeah, the middle one, Rav Misharshi, would be a different thing. If he gave them a straight road, then a kaka would be entitled to take back the first one. So now the question is, okay, so fine. So that takes care of the original road, why you're not able to get back the original road. But what about the new road? Why can't he tell them, fine, I made a mistake. I didn't know that I'm going to be penalized like that. Fine, take back your original road. Give me back what's mine, the new road that I set aside for you guys. Let me have that back. Why not? The answer is, Hamani Rabbi Eliezer. Because our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Mishum, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbim Shaberu Derech La'atzmam. If the Rabbim have picked out a road for themselves through a field, Mashaberu Derech La'atzmam, Shaberu, whatever, that they picked a road for themselves, Mashaberu Beru, what they picked is considered a valid pick. Now, the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim Gazlanim, what do you mean, according to the Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbim are entitled to be Gazlanim, they're just entitled to blaze a path through somebody's field, and he just has to deal with it, he just has to accept it. Amr of Gidol Amr Rav, Kigun Sha'abdul Han Derech Ba'osa Sada. Rav Gidol says in the name of Rav, what we're talking about is when they once had a path through this field, which now is lost. So at one time in the past, there was a road going through this field. At some point it was lost. At some point it was planted or plowed or whatever over, and now it's not distinguishable anymore. So we know there was a road going through this field. We don't know. We just don't know where it was. Now we're saying that they picked out, they decided to start going on one particular path through the field, Masha Beir Beir, what they picked is
they're reclaiming
an ancient road.
The middle one?
So the Rashbam says the point that we're making kind of a Kavach Chomer like this. Madach in that case where he wasn't involved, he didn't give them anything willingly, and yet we're saying since there was a road at one point and they're entitled to continue using it, so much more so in our Mishnah where he himself gave them a new road, then they're entitled to start using that new road. And what about the original road? That we said before, the Knas, because they're a Hakalosin or whatever. So that's why they're able to use the new road, and he's not able to take them back, because he gave it to them themselves. He gave it to him himself, and that's even better than Rabbi Shaber Lamdera. That's even better than them picking a road for themselves.
That's to be done by, gives it by...
He gives it by... No, just he gave it to them, and they started using it. Yeah. Well, we'll see. We're going to talk about now how the Rabbi Makoine, we're going to get to that, right? But anyway, Tosfos has a different explanation of this. Tosfos has a number of problems with the Rashbam's explanation of this, and therefore what he says is no. What we're saying is two separate statements. First, we tried to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Shaber Lahem Derech La'atzmam. Now what we're saying is, you have a question on Rabbi Eliezer, how are the Rabbim able to be just one and like that? You're right. Never mind Rabbi Eliezer's din. A separate din is that Rav Gidl, Omer Rav says, our Mishnah is talking about a case of the Lahan Derech Ba'is Asad. In other words, according to Tosfos, what we have here is two separate answers. First, we tried to say that our Mishnah is like Rav Eliezer, that even if the Davim just unilaterally pick a road for themselves, then that's valid. Now we say, no, that can't work, because how does that entitle them to unilaterally pick a road through somebody else's field? That can work, let's say, if it's through Hester or whatever, but not. So now the Gemara changes its answer and says, never mind that. No, our Mishnah is not a fluent of Eliezer. Our Mishnah is fluent of the Chachamim who disagree with Eliezer. However, our Mishnah is talking about a case where one time there was an ancient road through this field, which now is lost. And now, therefore, when he's giving them a new road, then that's considered to be, and they started using it, then that's considered to be the equivalent of that old road that was there before. And therefore, he has to allow them to keep it. And again, the reason why he can't take back his original road is for the reasons we said before, because of Knas.
Oh, I thought you were asking about the crooked road, why he can't take that back.
We were asking about the second road, right? So the answer is because once they started using that new road, which is considered now to be the successor of that old road through the past, of that successor of that ancient road, then now he can't take it back anymore. Burial on Derech Ba'aslam. They picked it for themselves as a replacement for their old road, but nevertheless, we don't allow him to take back his original road either because the fact is he gave them Derech HaKalot.
But if he gave them a second road, and it was not an ancient road.
No, so what we're saying, according to Tosfos' understanding, what the Gemara is saying now is that, according to Rav Gidl Amar Rav, if there was no ancient road in that field, he would be able to take back it. He would be able to take back the second road. He would be able to tell them, you know what, I made a mistake. Never mind your second road. Keep using the original road.
Right.
Fine, I can't take that away from you because they're a lot, but I can take back the second one. But only if there was an ancient road there, which was lost, then he would lose both of them. That's according to Tosfos. According to the Rashbam, it's not like that. According to the Rashbam, the Gemara is continuing. The Gemara is saying either way, yeah. According to Rashbam's explanation, Rabbi Eliezer is saying his din, Rabbim Shaberalam Derech Ba'asmon, if Avdullah Derech Ba'is Asadeh. But here they didn't even pick it themselves. Here he gave it to them, therefore that's even, you don't even need an ancient road there, according to the Rashbam's understanding of the Gemara.
So because he gave
it to them, then that's it, he can't take it back.
And therefore, if he did not give it to them, even according to the Rashbam, he would be...
if he didn't give it to them, then yeah, they can't go take it themselves, you know what? Okay, the question is, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbim Mamai Konolei. Okay, you have to ask, according to Rabbi Eliezer. I skipped a couple of lines. So the question is, Yehochi. Okay, but if you're going to say it like that, if you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about a case when Abdullah and Derech Ba'is Asadeh, Amai Omer Rabba Barabona Omer Rabba Ein Halacha Ker Rabbi Eliezer, then why did Rabba... What Rabbi Bar Rabbona say in the name of Rab that the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer? If their taka was an ancient road over there which was lost and now they're taking back a road to replace that one, why is Rabbi Eliezer saying that Rabbi Eliezer is saying Masha Beir Gober? Why is Rab saying that halacha is not like that? It should be a valid thing. Their taka should be able to take a new road to replace the road they used to once have through this field.
Well, they disagree with that halacha.
But what's the logic for him to disagree? We had a case in Ksubas, one of the machlokas in between the Chachamim and Abno, in the Rashbam referred to it over here, that you had a case over there where a person has a field surrounded by other fields, and there was, at one point, he had a path to his field. Again, that path has gotten overgrown and lost or whatever. Where does he have a new path? So Abno says he's entitled to a path. And the Chachamim say, no, he'll have to buy one or just fly. And the Gemara explains over there that you have a situation over there where originally there were four different people who owned the fields on the different sides. Now one person bought all those surrounding fields. The Adman saying that the owner of the inner field can say, look, however you look at it, no matter what, I have some kind of path through one of your fields. Fine, pick a path that's the most convenient for you, and that'll be what I'll use. Whereas the Chachamim say against Advain, no, because the owner of the outer fields can say, you know what, if you don't want to buy a new pass for me, fine. I hold all the cards over here. I could go and return all the fields and all the title deeds to the original owners. Then you'll really be stuck. You can't take any of them to basically to get your pass back, because either one, each one can say your pass but is in the other one's field. So therefore, if you want a pass to your field, pay me. Not really like a migui, but yeah, it's a sort of, yeah. But that's what it is. So now, therefore, in other words, what we said in the Gemara over there, if the fields always belong to one person, even the Chachamim against Admon would agree that, yeah, he has some kind of path there. So in our case over here, if there was once a path through this field, and now it got lost, and the Rav would want to take a new path to replace the old one, why would Rav be saying, what's the logic for Rav to say that Allah is not like everybody other? He's not holding like Admon, he's not holding like the Chachamim. The answer is, Manda Masniho, Le Masniho. You're right. You have two different statements in the name of Rav. One, you have Rav Gidol saying that Rav Eliezer is talking about a case where the path was lost. You have another statement of Rav about Rav Huna that says that the halacha is not like Rav Eliezer. They're two different. The one who learned one didn't learn the other. Rav Gidol, who learned from Rav that Rav Eliezer is talking about Kenji Ovalal Derech Loisa Sada, would hold that the halacha should be like Rav Eliezer, like he said. And Rav Abba Rav Huna would have to understand that no, Rav Eliezer is not talking about that situation. That Rav Eliezer is not talking about that they decided to blaze a path through the field.
Without
there being a previous, an ancient road there. So then the question is, the time of my, okay, according to Rav Abba Rav Huna, what would be the logic to say that so we're saying the halacha is not like Rav Eliezer. So how are we understanding our Mishnah? What's the reason behind our Mishnah, again, why the guy can't take back the new road? If we're saying it's not a matter of an ancient road, in any way he says the halacha is not like Rav Eliezer, so just because the Rav have picked a path doesn't entitle them to it, why shouldn't he be able to take
it? Even if
it
was an ancient road?
No, we're saying Rav Abba Rav Huna didn't hold the ancient road concept. He's saying the halacha is not like Rav Eliezer. In other words, if the Rav stops going through a place, doesn't mean anything. So even in our Mishnah then, if he gave it to them, it shouldn't mean anything. Once he realizes his mistake, that I can't take back my old one because of the knack before, then I should be entitled to take back my new one. How do we understand our Mishnah that says that he can't do that? Why or not? The reason is Mishum de Rav Yehuda. That would be on the basis of what Rav Yehuda said. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav actually, Meitzer Shech Zikur by Rav and also the calculus. If you have a boundary that the Rabbim have made a chazaka on it, meaning, in other words, in this case, it's not just that they walked on it, they smoothed it out, they made it suitable for walking, and the owner allowed them to do that, also the calculi. Now he's not allowed to ruin it again, because now, at that point, he must have been merciful to the Rabbim. So again, in our Mishnah, we're talking about that he actually gave it to them. So therefore, we don't even need that they were misaking it or anything like that. He gave it to them. The other case would be where, so in other words, there's two possibilities. Never mind Rabbi Eliezer, we're saying, fine. We're saying halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, so let's leave that out of the picture. But we have two possibilities. One is the case of our Mishnah, where he actually said, I'm giving you this road from now on, you can use it. Once he gave it to them, he can't take it back. The other would be if they, on their own, went and took a particular road or a particular boundary along fields or whatever and smoothed it out and made it more walkable, and he didn't say anything, then at that point they've made a chazaka on it, and then he can't take it back. That's the second one, but once we have that concept, then by the same, again, we make a kavah chomer to our, that the same, if in that case where they do it unilaterally, he can't take it back. But here, it's how much more so in our Mishnah where he actually gave it to them. Oh, so no, I'm wrong actually, sorry. The Rashbam says it's going to get zikri. No, I'm sorry. The case of the Mishnah would have to be, according to this explanation, it's not just he gave them the land. They actually made a chazaka on it. Again, after he gave it to them, they went and smoothed it out or otherwise prepared it for war. That's the chazaka. So if we're saying that they do it unilaterally and make the chazaka and he doesn't say anything, then you're not allowed to recalculate it. How much more so when he gave it to them and they made such a chazaka? That's the point. So that would be the point of our mission.
Then you cannot
take it. That's why he can't take back the new one, and he can't take back the old one because Derech HaKalos.
Nothing to do with Rabbi Eliezer.
So nothing to do with Rabbi Eliezer, again, because we're saying the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. So the question is now, going back to Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi my tunnel light. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if we're saying there was no ancient road over there, and Rabbi Eliezer is still saying that they can still just pick out a road and start using it, what's the basis of what Rabbi Eliezer is saying? On what basis are they making an opinion even? Mela, if we say, like we just said, they make a chazak on it, that they smooth it out or whatever, that's a kinyan. But if they don't, if they just walk on it, yeah. The answer is bihilucha. They make a, according to Rabbi Yezer, they would make a kinyan on it just by walking on it.
The rabbi.
Just, yeah, the rabbi walking on it. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, the Tanya, as we learn in a point of Rabbi Yezer, once the rabbi did it, then that's enough. Again, unless he protested right away. If he protested right away, then not. But like this, where they started walking through and he didn't protest, and he was responsible. As soon as he knows about it, whatever. Netanya, as we learn in a braisa, holach bala orko l'rochba, if somebody walks the length and width through the field, through a field that he bought, konam makam hilochai, he made a kinyan on the place where he walked, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So we see the point over there. No. We're talking about if you bought a field. But in other words, by the same logic over here, if the rabbim have started walking in a place, and he wasn't mocha as soon as he found out about it, which means he was mocha. And the very fact they walked on it then constitutes a kinyan. According to the other. The chachamim, ein hiluch mayokum, where the chachamim say that walking doesn't help anything, ad shiyasik, unless you make a proper chazaka. No agadu parat, like we learned earlier in the Sefer. No. But again, it would have to be rabbi, it would have to be that he wasn't Moshe. If he was Moshe, then of course he's... No, he has to...
200,000 people walking.
As soon as he starts seeing the people... As soon as he puts up a sign, he stands there with a stick, whatever. Come on. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar, the Amorda says, my time is the Rabbi Elazar. What is the reason behind what the Rabbi Elazar, the Tana says, that walking through property is enough to be kind of? This gave it. It says, by Avraham Avinu, the Ebershah tells him, Kumis Halach Ba'arat La'orko L'Rafla, get up, walk through the land of Eretz Yisrael, the length and width, Kilacha Tanana, because I will give it to you. Mashmah, in other words, he's being kind of for his children through this walking. So there you go.
Now, is this before or after Lloyd left him, if that's what you're asking.
Wow. It's after Lloyd left him, yeah.
Oh, because the Midrash said that Lloyd already thought that Avram was going to get the land. But if he was he did have a taina.
No, but I mean, he knew that Avram was going to get the land because before that, the Abisha told him that the Lazarachah
right.
Tenet Zarah Tazot.
No, so that makes sense.
Okay, all right.
What difference did he make if it was after or before?
Because he's trying to figure out what Lloyd was thinking when Lloyd had his animals grazed in other people's fields, thinking we own the land anyway. Okay, I don't know. Anyway, Zerabbanan, what are the Rabbanan answer to the act? It's Taka, you see it happened by Avram Avinu. They would answer, that's not teaching us anything about the halachas of Kinyan. That is because Avraham Avinu was dear to the Ebishter. It's for the love that the Ebishter had for Avraham. To Karmelai Hachi, that's why he told him like that. The Ebishter is telling him, walk around the land in order that it should be easy for your children to conquer it. How does that help? So the Rashbam says like this, they will be considered like Yoshim, they won't be considered like Gazlonim. The Sultan won't be able to be Makatriyah and say they don't deserve it because you've already walked through it. The Ramban has a famous thing on it at the beginning of Parashas Lech Lecha. That's the famous thing. Ma'aseh Ovid Sivim L'Banim. What the Ovid did in general, he says, a nevuah that's accompanied by a symbolic act is a much stronger nevuah. Therefore, you find many places in Tanakh where a Navi was told to actually do something along with his nevuah to make it definitive. It's definitely going to happen. He explains the whole thing in Ma'aseh Ovid Sivim L'Banim along those lines. But here is a similar thing. Once Abraham walks through Eretz Yisrael, that actualizes the Nevuah and makes it that the Jewish people will be able to conquer it much more.
And if the going had protested for that walking through that,
The Ebishter is giving it to him. The Ebishter is telling him to make it a more tangible thing. That's what we're saying. Again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, he's actually making an actual Kinyan that's valid in Halacha. Through that, according to Rabbanan, he's not making a Kinyan, but he's doing the symbolic act that makes it that now it'll be easier for his children to conquer.
Did is to give it to Avram. There's no need to do anything else.
But you still, that's what the Ramban is saying. You need a symbolic act. Sometimes you have that a nevuah, if it's just an abstract nevuah, if it's just in words, not to say that it'll be a nevuah for good is never going to be canceled, but it can be delayed, it can be modified or whatever. When it's accomplished, when it's accompanied by a symbolic act, it's definitely going to happen exactly as it was said.
We never claim Eretz Yisrael by the fact that Avram walked back and forth.
But we're saying, no, again, Right, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, you have Hashem gave it to him and told him to make a kinyan on it. And according to the Chachamim, Hashem gave it to him and told him do a symbolic act to demonstrate that your children will be able to more easily conquer.
That essentially would be
the Eibishter telling him. Yes, of course, then. The Eibishter telling him. Okay. All right. Amar Rabbi Yosef of Chanan. Moedim Chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer, b'shvil shokramim. Now, the Chachamim do agree with Rabbi Eliezer that you can accomplish a kinyan just with walking when it comes to a path through the vineyards. However, Nafta Lehiloch, the path is made specifically for walking, Nikna Mehiloch, therefore it can be acquired by walking. In general, we said before that you usually acquire something by using it in a normal way in which it's used.
Why just a kerem?
Because that's a typical...
Why not the sadeh? Or...
Because it's a typical path like that through a kerem is used strictly for walking. It's not used for anything else. However, he also the commanded Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'ami, when the Chachamim came to Rabbi Yitzchak Ba'ami, Amalok, he says to them, you have to give him, there was a case where a person was selling a shvil shel kramim to somebody else, or the Rashbam brings from Ben Hanano that it was a case, again, of Avdolei Derech Sadeh, that the path was once there and then it was lost. Anyway, he tells him, give him the amount of space that he would be able to take a bundle of branches, v'hodr, and turn around. That's how wide it has to be, that he would be able to be carrying a bundle of branches on his shoulder and be able to turn around without the branches touching the walls, around the path. Which would be the dirty tuna de shavishta, that he could carry a bundle of reeds or a bundle of branches, but harder and turn around. Now, the loya moron elder Simon Michitzasa. Now, that only applies though if it's bounded by walls. The shvil has walls on both sides. Then you need to have that amount of space because you want to make sure he's carrying something that's not going to get knocked off when it rushes against the wall. Avo loy Simon Michitzasa. But if you don't have walls surrounding it, then the path can be much narrower. Then it only has to be wide enough that he can put down, that he can pick up one foot and put down another foot. And it was just as wide as he needs in order to be able to walk. Because since there's no walls, it's not going to knock off his burden off his thing. You have vines growing over there, but the vines are low. They're below anything he's going to carry on his shoulders. Therefore, they're not going to interfere. So therefore, it can be a very narrow path.
Just to be able to walk, one
next to the other and walk in. The Rashbam brings another use to the other way around. That's okay. If there's no walls, then you have to give him much wider. But if there's walls, then you only have to give him a very narrow space. The Rashbam doesn't like that explanation because he says that in that case, if there's walls, what are you giving him more space between the walls? Tosfos says that what we mean is you're thinking we're talking about tall walls. We're not. We're talking about low walls. So if there are low walls, then yeah, they're attacking not going to interfere. If they're tall walls, you'd have to give them more space because otherwise they'll rush against it. But low walls, you only have to give them a very narrow space. If there's no walls, then you have to give them a wider space, and that's how Tosfos brings, and that's in fact the halacha.